Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can always take us with you when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store. And if you're somewhere else and or old school and you just have your desktop, you can go to guardiantalkradio.com and there is a live streaming button there where you can live stream the show. Or you can go to our own website at www.nagb.org.bs and listen to the show after it's aired. So tonight I have an international visitor in the studio with us, whose name is Sasha Dees. I learned to pronounce it properly. For the longest time, I thought it was Dees.
Yeah, everybody does.
Everyone says that. So Sasha Dees.
All English-speaking people. Yeah,
exactly,
do.
I'm sure. And Sasha is a curator, producer, and writer who currently is living and working all over the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And so you're originally Dutch?
I'm originally from the Netherlands, grew up in the south, moved more to the city, first in The Hague and then Amsterdam, and then I moved to New York.
Mm-hmm. And you are interested in the Caribbean, so you've been traveling since November?
Yes.
But November last year, right? So you're almost a year on the road.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit first about, I mean, obviously Holland, for listeners that don't know, you know, has a very, very rich art history going back centuries. How did you get interested in contemporary art? Because I find quite often in Europe, you know, there's so much, again, it's got a great contemporary art movement, but we're so concerned with our heritage all the time.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
It's a little bit harder.
Yeah, I guess I didn't come from it at all. Like, I immediately was interested in contemporary. Mm-hmm. I really grew up, sort of what we were talking about in the car, in like the hip-hop and urban area. So I actually...
Because Harlem, actually, where Rembrandt lived, mm-hmm. is sort of a almost like a suburb of Amsterdam
at the moment, but when I grew up in the south, so mm-hmm. I'm really like a farmer's daughter.
Okay.
in the south, like, you know, like no big city around, well, Antwerp, so then you're immediately in a different country.
So
it was one of the smaller cities that was dedicated also to have a lot of immigrants live.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very mixed mixed area, and I guess I just, you know, liked hip hop and like the break dance and the graffiti and mm-hmm. all of that. And that's really how I started being interested in the art.
Oh, so that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So it actually came through sort of music and almost sort of street art in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's sort of what happened. And I you know, I just wanted to travel. That was mm-hmm. really what mm-hmm. I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, like, how does one do that? Mm-hmm. So... you know, everybody says, like, you have to become a diplomat, and I'm not very diplomatic, mm-hmm. so that was sort of bound
you were
to
like,
fail.
Okay.
That's probably not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had all these friends, even very young, like, you know, dancing or doing music, and I was always the friend that said, oh, you should go over there, there's a competition, or there's an event, and we should go there, and then friends would be like, we're in a small village, really.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, how do we even get there? Yeah, I know this person with a car. Let me call mm-hmm. him. So I was always the organized friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
that's how you began as a cultural producer.
Yes. So slowly I started organizing until somebody says, like, yeah, and this is the producer, Sasha Dees. I'm like, what? Looking up, what is a producer? Oh, I guess that's me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very organic way of doing it. So I've always been interested in the contemporary. Mm-hmm. I just entered it mm-hmm. from the contemporary.
Mm-hmm. And is
and
that
only
why
later, I guess, I started, you know, like being interested in a wider, but always basically focused on contemporary. Yeah.
And is that why you then moved to New York, because of your interest in street art and things like that? Was that part of the draw or...?
No, I think, I guess, like, after living in Holland for a while, like, you know, I just wanted something new, and I did mm-hmm. want to do the travel thing. So mm-hmm. I wanted to know something about film, mm-hmm. because we got an opportunity to produce a film, which mm-hmm. I hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
And then a director friend of mine said, like, well, you should probably go study a little bit of film then.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
why don't you try NYU? Mm-hmm. Because they have like a year program.
My alma mater.
Yes. So I didn't do like the whole study, but they have the continuous studies.
Yeah, they have that year-long film program, which is actually very good. Yeah,
which is what I did. And I had worked with a comedian from Suriname who became like, you know, sort of the Chris Rock of Holland. So I made some money. And I actually invested it in myself in paying for that program because NYU is pretty expensive. So there I went.
So, okay, a comedian from Suriname who became big in Holland. That's an interesting...
Yeah.
Were you traveling already at that time?
Or
were you meeting people in Holland who were from...
No, okay. I traveled, you know, as soon as I could, I guess.
Yeah.
And so I did projects in Suriname. I met him actually in Holland where he was studying.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with a theater group to Suriname, like I set up like after the dictatorship they had. I started the international exchange again, like sort of I started going. And first they were a little, like the minister was a little reluctant like to give some funding. So I just went, like I got sponsoring from the airline. And then had friends like, you know, host us. And then they sort of thought, okay, maybe this is a way to sort of open up the dialogue, political dialogue again by using culture.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't even aware of that. I was used that way, but, you know.
But you were?
I kind of found out. And then all of a sudden I got all these... budgets to do things in Suriname.
Yeah, but also, I mean, isn't that kind of a great... I mean, it would have been nice if you'd known that you were being used that way, but I think, you know, to use culture as a way to mend fences, because, again, for the
totally
listeners
fine.
Who might not know, Suriname was a Dutch colony for how many years?
It became independent and a republic in 1975.
So 1975. Yeah. And then there was the dictatorship. How long did that last?
That started in 1981, and it lasted, like, for about 10 years, and then there were free elections.
And so was that considered sort of at all radical? I mean, were people like, oh my God, why are you going to Suriname? Like, were people in Holland sort of, you know, what was that relationship between Holland and its former colony?
I think that because a lot of Surinamese people fled the country to Holland because there was this grace period after the independence, like of, I think, 15 years where people could sort of change their mind and become Dutch citizens and then move to Holland. Or have the passport. So there was as many Surinamese people in Holland as there were in Suriname.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so, but, you know, like a lot of people fled, like, because there was the dictator. And, but slowly it changed a little bit. And I think people just wanted to go back when they could. Like some people who, you know, because there was he killed like 12 people who were like opposed his dictatorship, and there were like a radio host and all people in arts and cultures, writers. So a lot of the art scene actually fled the country.
And I think it's very interesting, isn't it? Because it makes you realize how powerful art is.
That
many times during the Cultural Revolution in China, during the Soviet Revolution, you know, the intellectuals and artists are very often the people because in a way it's... I mean, it's not great at all, but I mean, it shows, in fact, the power, the power of culture and of art and culture, right? That it is, dictators can be fearful of it.
And so I guess it sort of started changing a little bit, and then people wanted to go home, really. And by that time, you know, like, that's my friend, so I'm still the organized one, so I'm trying to figure out how to get them home. And so I did the first project with a theater group that I had worked with in Holland who was like, wouldn't it be great if we could actually do this back home, you know? And so I arranged for that to go. And then I think, like I said, like the Dutch embassy saw like, wow, this works. All of a sudden there's like dialogue again between people. So I had a conversation with the cultural attaché, and he actually wrote me a letter to go to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and that it would be great if I got to do more projects, which I did.
It's really interesting. I don't know if you followed at all the show we did here, We Suffer to Remain, that was supported by the British Council.
I kind of
But it's sort of interesting to think about like how Holland seems to want this connection and is supporting it. And I don't know, I feel like in the UK they say they want to, but... they don't really. I don't know. Like, it's yeah. kind of fascinating because, you know, we had issues with that about, again, it was supposed to be about kind of exchange and healing, and it turned out to not yeah. feel that way very much.
I mean, I'm not sure if it's that different yeah. in the Netherlands, to yeah. be honest, yeah. but I think they sort of intend that to, you know, and then they realize, oh, and now we can use it for something else that mm-hmm. we want, mm-hmm. and it becomes an entirely different thing.
Yeah.
And they also use it because I think, you know, if you think about it, like the embassy in Suriname, which is a country with 400,000 people, is the biggest Dutch embassy in the world. It has the most personnel. You know, it's still actually the country that they feel they can have a lot of influence
yeah,
over.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you know, that's not a good thing.
Not at all. And have you been to then other of the Dutch colonies as well? Or was
yeah.
the focus mostly on Suriname?
Well, it started in Suriname because that's also, that were the people I worked with at first within the arts back home.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I've been in Curaçao and the other islands, yeah. And those are still colonies.
Well, they are still colonies. Yeah,
yeah, they're sort of like, I'm not entirely sure how the position of, like, it's like Puerto Rico,
mm-hmm.
where they are their own countries, but they're still part of the Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds very complicated.
Yeah, it is. It actually is. It's
yeah.
We had a referendum in 2010, like, so they had the same sort of status, but at all islands together, and it was called the Dutch Antilles,
mm-hmm.
which a couple of years later, then Aruba sort of split off,
mm-hmm.
and so they are still what they were then. And that was in 1954. And then in 2010, because there's all this talk, independence, this, that, and I think Holland really, I mean, you know, I guess we just got tired of it. It costs money, in our view. We're not getting anything out of it. So
in
I think
Dutch
we
view.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, wanted to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a referendum and people could choose.
Mm-hmm.
So you could choose for total independence, republic. The same sort of status, like be your own country, but mm-hmm. be part mm-hmm. of the Dutch kingdom, or become a municipality of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's six islands, and the three bigger ones, Aruba, Curaçao, and St. Martin, chose for the being its own country, but part mm-hmm. of the kingdom of the mm-hmm. Netherlands. And the three really small ones, so they're really small, like Saba has 1,900 people.
Mm-hmm.
So Saba, Sint Eustatius, and Bonaire became municipalities of the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting too, because mm-hmm. nobody chose to be really independent.
That really is interesting.
Yeah, and I think that sort of surprised everybody. Mm-hmm. And so this mm-hmm. is what it is, which sort of means, like with Sint Maarten, when the hurricane was there, like immediately they sort of, you know, like get rid of the local government and take over and... You mm-hmm. know, it's a weird situation.
It's a weird relationship, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of interesting that in your mind the Dutch were sort of trying to say, oh yes, you know, we want to support your independence. Like,
yeah.
You know, and trying to make it look positive, but in reality they were like, okay, how can we...
Yeah, how can we get rid of
how can
it?
We, and I, again, sometimes yeah. I feel that's a bit the relationship with the UK, is it's sort of like, okay, we got rid of them now. And,
yeah.
you know, there's no... That's it. There's nothing left to...
Yeah.
But, you know, you think about the history of, you know, the what got sucked out of the countries.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's a really sticky question, because at the same time, you know, I could see them wanting to be independent if there was a guarantee that there would still be some sort of compensation for that,
yeah.
right? Some sort of relationship
also,
that would help them
Suriname
build their structures. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they got like, I think, 20 billion euros
mm-hmm.
Sort of payoff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To build, to, you know,
yeah.
to build government
yes.
buildings and to, yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
And then, but that then was used when like, 6 years later, the dictator came, it was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
So it was used to still have a lot of influence.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And plus, like, you know, what we do is, you know, we sort of, like privatize all the resources so
mm-hmm.
they're still ours
mm-hmm.
and then give back an empty country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a familiar story. It's a familiar story. So we're going to go to a quick break, but I'd love to, since you've been traveling the region, I'd love to hear more about those travels and sort of the observations of all the different, because
yeah.
again, all the different colonizers and how that sort of reflects in the former colonies. I think it's sort of quite interesting.
It does.
So I'm speaking with Sasha Dace, who is a curator, a producer, and a writer who is living and working all over the Caribbean. So she's not in any particular country or city.
I live in the Bahamas today.
She's living in the Bahamas. Don't say that, immigration will come get you. She's just visiting. She's just visiting for a few days. And traveling to, you know, understand better our cultural production. So we're going to be back after this break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.